Blog Talk Radio.
Doing tonight, this is your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the Before You Go Pro locker room. And tonight we are hyped as always because we have another wonderful guest that is coming into the locker room to share with you young athletes what it really takes to be not only a collegiate football player but also a professional football player. This is somebody that has an amazing football testimony. This is somebody that has accomplished big things on and off the field, and we're so excited to have Mr. Alvin Harper in the BYGP locker room tonight. For those who don't know, Before You Go Pro is a company that focuses on the mental, moral, and academic success of young football players between the ages of 13 through 19. And we have our online radio show that we do every Tuesday and Thursday night. And tonight, we have one of the best Dallas Cowboys to ever lace them up in the great state of Texas. This is somebody that was a high school USA Today All-American, also a track all-state performer, major two-sport star at the University of Tennessee, and then a first-round draft pick with our Dallas Cowboys. So I'm going to bring on Mr. Harper right now. Hey, Alvin, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you.
Perfect, perfect. So we appreciate you coming on tonight, and I know this is your first time in the locker room. We've got a bunch of young, aspiring football players and parents listening in tonight, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure, doing something to this magnitude. I didn't know it was a radio show out there that worked on the mental and the academic aspect of kids today. And it's just an honor to be doing something for these kids.
Well, we appreciate it. And as you know, because you're a former player yourself, and I understand you got a young son that is an aspiring player as well, it's a daily duty. So we appreciate you coming on and helping us out.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
So let's get started because we have roughly about 40 minutes, and I got a bunch of questions to ask you because, as I stated in the intro, you have such a huge background of success in sports, in all sports. So let's get right into it. Where did you originally grow up, Alvin?
I originally grew up down in a little small town called Foster, Florida. That's central Florida. That's about 25 to 30 miles south of Orlando, right in the middle of the state, and actually in the middle of all those orange groves.
So the stories are true. Florida's got the best oranges, huh?
Oh, no question. No question. So you've ate an orange directly off the tree? You would never, ever eat another orange out of a store if you eat one off the tree. So they're just so that good.
Wow, I heard that. I heard that. So you ended up attending Frostproof High School. Now, did you attend that high school because that was the local neighborhood high school, or was somebody pushing you to play for them?
No, that was the local neighborhood high school. And my hometown is probably the size of UCLA's campus, and a little bit bigger. Very
wow.
small.
So everybody grew up knowing each other in the neighborhood?
Oh, no question. It was like a family-oriented city. My mom had 18 brothers and sisters, and, you know,
wow.
other families had 12 brothers and sisters. So it was a small type, networking type of neighborhood. You know, migrant workers, everybody got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, went to work, got home at 5:30. So it was one of those towns that you know what you had to do. It was hard work, you know, and nothing else. And you go around the corner, you do something wrong over there, you're going to get a whooping over there, then they're going to call home, you're going to get another whooping. So
I hear you. So you grew up kind of in the era where Florida was really starting to get its name. You know, you went to the University of Tennessee in 1987, so you were in high school in the late 80s, and then you were really starting to make a name for yourself in the early 90s. Was sports in Florida at that time, was that something that a lot of kids were turning their attention to, or was that something that was just more unique to your family?
Well, that was basically one of the only things that we had to grasp that was our outlet because, you know, sometimes in the morning times before school, we would have to go to work and go pick oranges, you know, because that was the nature of the beast down there. And, you know, in order to survive and live halfway comfortable, that's what you had to do. So the sport thing came, you know, that was our outlet. So they roll, you know, you roll the basketball out, you know, we play kill the man with the ball as far as football, and then, you know, and ran track. So, you know, those things that we got away, and that was our excitement. And then we just happened to be pretty decent at it. And, you know, like all my uncles got scholarships and played in college. All my brothers
wow.
got scholarships and played in college. And I had about 7 to 10 cousins that played in college. And you might know one of my cousins that's playing in the NFL right now, Mikhail Roby, that played at USC. Defensive back?
Definitely. Cornerback.
Cornerback, yeah. So we, you know, the family is an athletic family.
To say the least, definitely. Wow. So talk to me a little bit about that. Do you feel like you were a little bit more fortunate than maybe some other kids just because you had so many positive examples in your family?
Yeah, because one reason why I took the route and did what I did, it was because I saw all my uncles go to school and get this, got their degrees. So all of my brothers go to school, get the degrees. So I was like almost the last one standing after all that, and I was like the same thing I want to do. I want to go to school, get my degree, and not worry about professional sports because that's one of those one percentile things that, you know, 1,000 people go try out and one person makes it. So I wasn't focused on that. I wasn't focused on going to school, hooking up with the right crowds, making sure I'm doing the right thing, not getting myself in no trouble, getting my education, go out, get a job, and if the pro thing happened, great. If not, I got my backbone education. I can go to work, provide for my family, and do the same things my brothers, my uncles, and my mom and dad did as when I was growing up.
Great stuff. So for all you kids and parents out there listening, you know, you got to take advice from Mr. Alvin Harper. If you don't have that example in your family or in your life, you got to seek it out. That's part of the reasons why we have Before You Go Pro, because there's people who want to help and show you a good example. So, you know, that's so good that you were able to kind of see the right route to go and really take hold of that. Now, I must tell you, looking back on your high school career, you're by far one of the most decorated high school guys that we've had on I mean, USA Today, All-American. You were a two-time state champion in Florida, which is no joke, as we all know, in the high jump. And then averaged 23 points a game and 10 rebounds in basketball. How did you choose football? What made you choose football?
Man, you're not going to believe this story when I tell you. You not only played 1 year of high school football. I was a basketball player.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, one year high school football. I was a basketball player, and I said, I got to get three letters because all my brothers got three letters in high school. So I went out for the football team just to go out to get a letter. And some guys got hurt, and I was already pretty fast, and I was high jumping 7'2.5" in high school, and guys got hurt. And they put me in, and I was like, man, well, I can't do this. They hitting out there. I'm a basketball player. So, and the coach was just like, you know, just run and get out of the way. So long story short, I was just ran, got out of the way, quarterback threw it up, jump ball, I caught it, came down, scored a touchdown. Coach came to me on the sideline and said, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get past the 50-yard line, and we're just going to throw it up to you, and you just out-jump everybody. So I ended up in six games, ended up catching 21 touchdowns, and the rest is history.
Are you kidding me? So you became a USA Today All-American in 1 year?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm sure those high school coaches at Frostproof were happy that you were looking for another letter.
Oh, no question. No question. Yeah, because, you know, Frostproof is – football is king in Frostproof, and you know, and that's that Friday Night Lights thing that people see on TV. That is exactly what Frostproof is all about. I can't wait to Friday. Can't wait to the football season. We're going to the town shuts down. If you wanted to do something, you could do anything in that town because no one's at the store, no one's at the restaurants, everybody's at the football stadium.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up because with our company, the way we're built, we work with kids from across the country. So we work with kids in California, Texas, Oklahoma. Did you feel like Florida, because you were coming from Florida, there was a little bit of a, you know, a seniority or not a seniority, but did you feel kind of the right to really represent your hometown and your home state when you were around other players from Florida? Was that something of pride for you?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, when you look at it, Florida football players have this air about them, and we got this reputation of, man, he's from Florida, he can run. Hey, you know, the Florida guys, yeah. they can play and they can run. So, you know, when you're playing and you don't want to let people down. You don't want to let your state down. You don't want to let your friends down. And first and foremost, you know, to all you kids out there, always remember this. You do not want to let your parents down. When you leave home, you always want to set a good example for yourself and for your parents because you don't want your parents to ever have to explain why my son flunked out of college, why my son did this. His name is all in the newspaper for doing something wrong. That's one thing you don't ever want to do is tarnish your parents' name so they don't ever have to explain something to people in the neighborhood or people in their job. You don't want to embarrass your mom or your dad, point blank.
That's a great point, Alvin, and it actually brings me to something. I don't know if – I know you were talking to our executive producer of content, Ashley Goodman, but I don't know if she told you this. My grandfather is Willie Wood, Hall of Fame free safety, used to play for the Green Bay Packers, and I'll never forget – one of the things that he told me was that there wasn't a lot of opportunity for young black football players growing up. So
right.
There were less off-the-field issues because guys didn't want to mess up that opportunity. They didn't want to have to go back home and have people look at them crazy. And as you know, there's a lot of off-the-field issues right now with a lot of college and pro players. Do you feel like things were different in the past, that guys were a little bit more conscientious of their opportunities?
I, I think right now the kids don't have that foundation that Willie, yourself, myself grew up on. That, you know, it's there's now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing with a mother raising a son, a boy, but I just think a young man needs a father figure in his life as he's growing up, because there's certain things a mom can teach a son, and there's also certain things a man can teach a boy that he needs.
Yeah.
So I think the majority of these kids don't have that. And so, you know, when you, because I coached, when you spoil these kids the way they get spoiled nowadays, especially these young boys, when they leave home and they go to college, they've built that foundation of, I've been spoiled all my life, and that's what they expect. When you taught something growing up from the age of 5 to 18, that's all you know. You know, give me, give me, give me, and take, take, take. And then when you get to college, you know, when this coach is riding you, and you can't take it, then you go out and you do something crazy, you get in trouble, or you go in your shell, and then you don't perform like you normally can perform, is because, you know, the foundations is not there. And the toughness, I don't think the toughness is there nowadays. I think these kids, they want stuff given to them on a silver platter instead of working for it. They got this self-entitlement thing that, you know, we all work for what we got. If, you know, you, whatever you put into it, that's what you're going to get out of it. If you don't put anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. It's like putting money in the bank. You put money in the bank, you're going to have money in the bank. You don't put anything in the bank, you're going to be broke.
So you were extremely talented. I mean, once again, a three-sport star in high school, and really could have played Division I in any sport that you chose. Do you feel like your success was mainly due to athletic ability, or were you a hard worker in high school?
I was a hard worker. I was one of those guys that when I got to Tennessee, Tim McGee was their first-round draft pick. Anthony Miller
yep.
was their first-round draft pick. Carl Pickens was their first-round draft pick. Anthony
wow.
Morgan, third-round draft pick. Now, all these guys and myself and two other guys that got drafted in the sixth and seventh round, we're all in the line together. So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, man, I'm never going to play here. Man, this, we got nothing but talent. So I said to myself, I said, well, I've got to do something that's going to distinguish me from these guys. So that's when I started going to practice 30, 40 minutes early, working on my craft, staying after practice 30, 40 minutes after practice, working on my craft, going into the meeting room, you know, meeting with the coach, asking the coach, you know, certain things, learning the sport, learning the game, and all that little stuff paid off at the end, because myself and my roommate was doing that stuff, and you could tell the difference. You can look at the difference. You can see it in practice. You can see it in games because of the work that, you know, you put into it, and that's what I got out of it. So I was one of those guys that was a hard worker, and that's what I believe in, and that's I tell my son that every day. I said, hard work beats talent every day of the week. You know, that's truly
yes, it
that.
Does. Yes, it does. And for all you young kids out there listening, you get it right here from a Super Bowl champ. That hard work beats talent every day. And if anybody does want to call in and ask Mr. Harper a question, or if you've got a story you want to share with Mr. Harper, call us in at 310-807-5195. We would love to hear from you. Let's talk about your University of Tennessee decision. I mean, you're a Florida kid, and a lot of times talented Florida kids don't get out of talent or out of Florida. What made you choose Tennessee?
I wanted to go to University of Florida. Everybody in the world offered me a scholarship. You know, UCLA was one of my official visits. Clemson was official visit. Miami was official visit. Florida State was official visit. And Florida was the only school in America that did not offer me a scholarship. And I said, you know what? I'm going somewhere where I can run track and play against Florida because I want to show them what they lost by not letting me come to that darn school, you know. And make it so bad, I went there every weekend because we had a lot of players from my high school that was playing there only an hour and 35 minutes from home. So that's one reason why I got out of the state of Florida, because Tennessee had the great track program along with letting the guys, you know, the football players running track at the same time. And, of course, you know, I had the 400-meter runner and that high jumper, you know, I couldn't stop doing that.
Definitely, and it was good that you did decide to stick with track because you were the indoor high jump champ in the SEC, which is huge. I have, you know, it's just amazing, and I don't think a lot of young players can really imagine the work that you had to put in to be as great as you were on the football field at that level, but also a high jump champ as well. So, you know, our caps are definitely tipped to you. Now, once you got to the University of Tennessee, because, Mr. Harper, we have some kids that are in college right now, and, you know, a couple mm-hmm. of them are having a tough time transitioning. Did you find that it was harder to transition on the field or off the field?
I thought it was, for me, it was a little bit off the field because of the time management aspect of leaving home, not having a curfew, knowing when to hang out with the fellas in front of the dorm, knowing when you have to sit your butt down in that dormitory and go study, make sure you make a passing grade to stay eligible to play. So for me, it was that, because, you know, being at home, you know, your mom, at where I grew up, when the street light came on, you better be in the house. I don't care if you're in the 10th grade, 11th grade, or 12th grade. And when I got Tennessee, you know, I look at the street light, it pop on. It was almost a consciousness, like, yeah, I need to get back to my room, but, oh, I'm not at home anymore. I'm hanging out with the fellas in front of the dorm. Are we going across the campus to go, you know, look at the new freshmen that's coming in? That part of it was the hard part for me. But on the field part, you know, it's just, you know, you got to have that. That comes from within, the field part, because you have to understand that you're going into a ballpark where everybody looks like you, everybody runs like you, everybody's just as strong as you are. So now you have to dig deep down inside and say, okay, and I need to show these coaches why they gave me a scholarship to come here, because they expect me to play. If you are granted a scholarship at a major college level or 1AA or even Division II, these people expect you to come in and play. Let's give out scholarships.
Yeah. What's your opinion now? Because, you know, it's a lot different, the recruiting game, Mr. Harper, as opposed to when we were coming out of high school. What's your opinion now about the 7-on-7 camps and all of the hype that these kids get online and on TV? Do you think that's a good thing for these young athletes, or do you think they should slow it down a little bit?
Well, I think some of it is, I like some of it. You know the hype stuff. You know, it's just a different era. And, you know, it's a different time. You know, I tell people this story right here. I'm going to get off the point real quick. You know, it's different time because when I got drafted in 1990, I was the first-round draft pick, 12th player pick. I signed a four-year deal, 4 years at $5.2 million. Last year, the same player that got picked in my position signed a six-year, $67 million contract, and $21 million of it was guaranteed. So,
wow.
You know, I'm not mad at that. That's because of the times. And, you know, and what these kids are doing now, you know, it's I love it. I like, you know, the hype thing. You know, you have the All-American Army game. You know, you get to announce where you're going. I think that's a beautiful thing. It gives the kids an opportunity to see what's going to be going on at the next level. But the only thing I dislike is, you know, the recruiting process, they have to give these kids this eyeball test. You have to look 6'3", 190 pounds, you know, 4'4", 40. You know, I hate that eyeball test because back at Tennessee, we used to call those guys paper athletes. You know, they built like Tarzan and they play like Jane. You know, I want football players. I want somebody that's going to make a play. I don't care if he's 5'1". I don't care if he's 7 feet tall. I want somebody that's going to make a play. And then the 7-on-7 thing, I hate 7-on-7 because everybody looks good in 7-on-7. You're not hitting. He gets to stand there, no pass rush. DBs know it's going to be a pass. Linebackers don't have to rerun. We're going to get into our drops right now. So I think it's unrealistic to really judge a kid in 7-on-7 because, for instance, a wide receiver, 7-on-7, I'm going to run a slant all day long because I know I'm not going to get hit by the linebacker because it's 7-on-7. Now, you get me in live situations, which we call when the bullets are flying live, see that receiver run that slant route when it's live. Let's see if those arms are going to be extended or are they going to be tucked to his stomach trying to catch a pass.
Good point.
That's the only thing I dislike about giving these kids these grades on this 7-on-7 stuff because I think it's just really unrealistic. And a lot of kids are getting hurt in these 7-on-7 deals.
Well, that brings me to my next point because you were a multi-sport star in high school, and now a lot of kids specialize and they do football year-round. When it's off the season, they have a personal trainer. They do 7-on-7. They go to all the camps. What's your opinion on that? Do you think guys should stick to one sport, or do you think guys should play multi-sport?
I think it's always best that you play multi-sports. If you're good enough to play basketball, play basketball. If you're fast enough to run track, because I tell kids now, I said track can't do nothing but help you. Track will never hurt you because, for one thing, you're always running and you always need to be in shape. And track is always going to be there, that avenue to make sure you stay in shape. And it's also going to get you faster. It's going to help you. It's not going to hurt you. So if to my advice, if you're able to compete and do it, do it. And then if you can't compete in track, still do it because it's going to help you in the long run.
Definitely. I am a firm believer in what Mr. Alvin Harper just said. If you guys are out there and you're debating on whether or not just to stick with football or to try other sports as well, get out there, give your body a rest from football, play other sports. It's only going to help you. So let's talk a little bit about when you were at Tennessee because, I mean, you really came out like gangbusters from the beginning, but was there a particular year or was there a particular play that happened at Tennessee where you were thinking, hey, I think I'm ready for the NFL. I think I'm good enough to play at that level.
I tell you when that came. That came around the end of my sophomore year, beginning of junior year, when I saw the guys in front of me getting drafted. And I knew some of the things that I had that it just clicked. And I said, if they can play in the league, I know I can play in the league because I can run just as fast. And I was at the time much bigger than those guys. And I had that thing that a lot of people don't have that's inside that pumps that blood. It's called a heart. You know, a lot of people can fake it until it's time for that heart to really kick in and you have to use it. So, you know, and those are some of those little fine details that, you know, I paid attention to and I saw at the time that helped me realize that I may have a chance to play at the next level, you know, and along with having a degree when I leave up out of this place.
Sweet, sweet, definitely. Grab that degree. Clean the plate. You want to eat up all the opportunity that a college has to offer you. So you get drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, and for years the Dallas Cowboys were not that good. They were kind of a doormat of the NFC East. Were you a little nervous about that going in, or did you feel like things were going to turn around for Dallas?
Oh, no. When you get drafted, you're just excited. You know, I could have got drafted in the Indianapolis Colts at the time. You know, it was the worst team in the league. It was just the fact that I made it. I got, first round draft pick from this small town. Never in my wildest dreams I would ever think somebody would want to take a picture with me, somebody would want my autograph, somebody handing me their kids, take a picture with my kids. You know, that type of stuff for me was just like overwhelming. And I tell people this, I'll sit there and sign a million people autographs, take a million pictures, because it's one of those things that, you're in that situation, and that's part of the deal. And and a lot of my personal friends that I played with, that used to get me so upset because they wouldn't sign people's autographs. It's just like, dude, everybody's not in this position to be able to do what we're doing. And I think you can take 5, 10, 20 minutes out of your time and sign some autographs, because in none of our wildest dreams that we ever thought we'll be sitting there signing people's autographs, signing people's shirts, signing, babies' arms, taking pictures. A lot of these guys, I don't get it. I just don't understand it. You're never bigger than the game, because Tony Hill wore number 80 before I got there. Somebody else before Tony Hill wore number 80 before he got to Dallas. And somebody before that person wore number 80 before that person got to Dallas. So what I'm saying is, you're never, ever in life going to be bigger than the sport. You just need to go in college, high school too, and have fun, do everything you can do, get out of it what you want to get out of it, and move on, because you're never going to be bigger than the sport. Because we see some of these players now that I think Terrell Owens still can play in the NFL right now. I think Chad Ochocinco could still be playing in the NFL right now. But due to some of the things that they've done off the field and some of the things that they've created with their mouths, that's hindering them from playing in the NFL right now. So,
great
point. You just need, as a young kid, young person, you just need to keep the peace, follow your path, your goals, and put the foot on the gas pedal and go forward. Keep your mouth shut and be respectful to your coaches, your players, your trainers, all the above, because you just never know when that window of opportunity is going to close on you. And when it closes on you, buddy, it closes for good. You don't get those opportunities like that all the time.
Great point. Great point, Alvin. Do you feel like players need to be more mindful of off-the-field opportunities while they're playing?
Say that again now.
I said, do you feel like players today need to be more mindful of off-the-field opportunities while they're still playing during their career?
Oh, yeah. I think if you have the opportunity – I think if you have the opportunity to have off-the-field opportunities, endorsements and all that stuff, take full advantage of it, because that's part of it that, we had some of those opportunities, but we didn't have plentiful opportunities because, the times are different. They got all these different avenues and all these different things, for these players that we didn't have. The ones that I had, I took advantage of it because – you have to. You'd be crazy if you don't.
Definitely. Now, talk to us a little bit, and we've got roughly about 5 minutes here, and I know there's a couple questions that the audience really wants me to get to. You, You played on a star-studded Dallas Cowboys team. You won 2 Super Bowl rings. Can you tell us a little bit about the makeup of guys like a Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman? What separated those guys from just the everyday guys?
You know, you got like Michael. Michael is somebody that work is unbelievable. And when you see guys like Emmitt, Troy, Mike, Nate Newton, Tuane, Eric Williams, when you see those type of guys stay after practice, working on their crafts, and, you know, they're pro bowlers. They all pros. You have no choice but to tag along. Because if the all-world players are doing it, you darn sure better be doing it too. Because it's something. There's something with it. And,
definitely.
You know, Emmitt was one of those, you know, he was one of those quiet guys that didn't say a lot. But, you know, but when he spoke, you know, he meant business. And Troy was just, he was a general. You know, people think Troy was, you know, was a bad guy, but, you know, as a quarterback with so much talent on the team, and we had some older guys, you know, you have to be a certain way, because if you don't, you know, guys can sense when you're not that guy. You know, and you as a quarterback, you don't want that. You especially in NFL. You want to be able to have those guys look at you in the huddle and be like, okay, we got his back. You know, we know he means business, and he's not going to let us down. He's there. He's our guy. You know, and you can feel that, because I've been in some huddles where I can look in the eyes of guys and you know, like, man, he got that far away look. He ain't ready. He ain't ready.
Before we get off here about the 93 and 94 Super Bowls, did you guys know going into the season that you guys were that good, or was it one of those things where as the season was going, you said, hey, we got a chance to win this thing?
Well, we knew we were good because we had, I think it was 30, it was either 30, I think. Don't quote me on it. I think we had 30 or 31 players on our team from the state of Florida. And we knew we were good. We just had to just, like, break that scab. Once you break that scab, you know, that sore is already healed and everything is ready to go. And once we did that, you know, when we won some big games like beating Philadelphia, you know, with Reggie White and all those guys, you know, Seth Joyner, you know, Clyde Simmons and those guys, you know, Andre Dirty Waters. So, you know, and winning those games and you know, Dexter Manley and Charles Mann playing against those guys, Daryl Green, beating those teams. So we knew we were there. We just had to make sure when you play in those type of games, players showed up. Big-time players make big plays in big games. And Jimmy Johnson was an advocate for that. You know, he made sure if you can't make plays, you can't play for him. That was his motto. If you can't make plays, you can't play for me. You know, and that's what this league is all about, making plays. And we had guys that made plays, you know, and situations that, like, man, these are pressure situations. So, and I think that was the turning point when we realized playing those years and realizing that we were really that good.
Wow, this is some great stuff, and we appreciate it definitely. And we would love to have you back on anytime, Alvin. Just give us, let's close out with this, because I know you've got a young son. that is currently being recruited. And obviously, you know, he's fortunate enough to have a dad that knows about the industry. Whether it's your son or maybe a player in his position, what would you tell a young player that has his whole career right in front of him?
I would tell him that he needs to work over and beyond, and then over and beyond again, and then over and beyond again, because there are so many kids out there that probably look just like you and run just as fast as you, probably catch just as good as you. Now, you have to bring something else to the table when they look at all 500 of all y'all looking the same. You have to put in that work until you just can't work no more. You have to go out on the practice field. You have to force yourself to do extra. And you have to force your parents to take you to the practice field. You have to force your trainer to put that extra work on you. You have to force your teacher to help you in that chemistry class. You have to force that math teacher to help you in that math class. So my thing is just work. Work, because it's going to pay off in the long run. I don't care what you do, job-wise, athletic-wise, you know, do everything 200%. When I walk up the steps, I walk up the steps 200%. You know, I'm doing this interview right now. I'm doing it 200%. You know, because
I can hear it.
My thing to you kids is, if you're going to invest your time into something, why do it half-heartedly? Because it's your time. Because one thing, when that time is up, you can't ever get it back. Because the night when you go to bed, today is going to be over with, and then you got tomorrow. That time is gone. You can't bring it back. So make the best of your situation. Make the best of your time, and do it 200% at all times. And I guarantee you, you won't go wrong.
Wow. Great stuff from somebody who is a Super Bowl champ, all-SEC performer in football and track, and USA Today, former All-American in football. We appreciate you so much, Alvin, and we wish the best for your son, and you're welcome in the locker room anytime. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, we need to stay in touch so we can, you know, just help these kids out. And especially, I would love to come by, you know, once I get in the California area and see what you guys got going on.
Definitely. You are more than welcome. So you have a great night, sir, and we'll be in contact.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye. So there you guys have it. We have, once again, a Super Bowl champ, Dallas Cowboys in 1993-94. This is somebody who was a first-round draft pick, all-SEC performer in track and football at Tennessee, and USA Today All-American in high school as well. It doesn't get any more storybook than that when you talk about a football career. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. We definitely thank Mr. Alvin Harper for coming on tonight. We've got so many great shows lined up for you guys. You have no idea. If you didn't catch last week's show with Keith Belton, strength and conditioning coach for USC, check that out on our archives. You can go to www.beforeyougopro.com. Click on the little microphone at the bottom of the homepage, and you can listen to all the archived locker room shows. So we have some amazing people come into the locker room and really give their testimony and some great advice. On Thursday, tune back in with us at 6:30 p.m. because we have a man by the name of Joe Tafoya. This is a Bay Area product. This is somebody that has a major college ball at Arizona, played in the NFL for the Cardinals and also for the Seahawks. And now he has an amazing business really promoting the Seahawks being the loudest stadium in the country. So you definitely want to hear from Joe on Thursday. We thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. Please tell the world about BYGP. We just want to get after kids from a mental, moral, and academic standpoint, really put our arm around them and see them through to a successful career. So for tonight, I am your host, signing off, and for the rest of the BYGP team and our executive producer of content, Ashley Goodman, that is all she wrote, and we will see you at the top. Have a good one.